Well, shalom. That was great, wasn't it? That is really good. And it does have somewhat to do with what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about tsuris. You don't know what that is? Trouble. Tsuris. Trouble. Maybe you know it by this word. Stress. Oh, yeah. Do we know what stress is? Oh, is this thing coming out? Feel like it's coming off. Excuse me one minute. There we go. You know, we live at a time, and certainly Jonah could attest to his time, but we live in a time with lots of dangers everywhere, all kinds of stresses for us. We had Mr. Muchmore pray for us and reminding us in prayer and asking God to help our servicemen overseas and the stress that they're under and the stress that it puts those in Washington. Whether we agree or not, it's certainly a stressful thing, regardless of how we handle it. And so we think of all the different disasters that can befall us. You know, I went online and I went to the Department of Health and Human Services. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's a mouthful. But as you look at it, you can't see it, but trust me, I'll show it to you. It says National Disasters and Severe Weather, A through Z. So you got every kind of problem that you could possibly imagine, and you could look it up. Anything from earthquakes to heat to floods and hurricanes and power outages and tornadoes and tsunamis and on it goes. Does that produce stress? It produces a lot of stress. Then we think of things that can kill us. Heart disease and cancer and stroke and bird flu. They all produce stress. So I went on the internet. Oh, I love this. I hope some, maybe you won't want to see it, but I can't help but laughing. Now, here's the question, and it's here. It's right here. What are the odds of dying? Well, the last I checked, one out of one, you know? I mean, you got a one out of one chance. Well, this particular website called the NSC organization, this gives you the odds of dying for, well, let's see, 5 pages worth. So name the question. You're on a bicycle. You take a plane. You go for a walk. You get on a bus. You go to work. It will give you what the odds are for you to die in that situation. Now, that could produce stress just thinking about it. I mean, if you had to think about every situation in which you can have trouble. So we got stressed that way. You know, we live at a time when a lot of people are talking about persecution. If you are a particular race, various nations having difficulties with race relations, that produces stress and certainly persecution. Religious persecution. I think we talked about it, and I know based on other speakers, you've talked about it throughout the conference from time to time, the increasing pressure and stress it will be simply to be a believer in this country, a very good possibility of high stress. Or you are the wrong gender, whatever that is. In many places, being a woman puts you in more stress and more difficulty. Some places, even a man put in a situation produces stress. And what about economic stress? I know no one here has any problems in that area. None of us worry about money. None of us think about that at all. Stress. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said to us, "In the world you will have tribulation." Folks, we shouldn't be surprised when we have issues. Well, we live in a stressful world. We are not saved out of that stressful world. Oh, I know the way we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. I know that. But the idea is, Christ said, you're going to have difficulties. In John chapter 15, it says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me. That's going to produce trouble, stress. Acts chapter 14, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Difficulties, troubles. 2 Timothy says, perilous times and persecution will happen. Perilous times. I think it's fair to say we live in perilous times. All kinds. We were just talking today at dinner about all the different pressures that people are under, all the different things that bother us and concern us, and we have questions about. There is a difference between tribulation and the tribulation. The Bible tells us that in the world you'll have tribulation. You know, sometimes if you put on a radio program or if you turn on the TV, you might hear a speaker say, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and all will be well. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but I have an issue with that. I remember my sister back in 1975, after presenting the gospel to me, said this, I don't know what you're going to do with what you've heard, but I will tell you this. If you make a decision for Jesus Christ as your Messiah, your trouble will just begin. And boy, was she right. Things don't automatically get better for us. In fact, I think it's fair to argue that at times it could be worse for us. But there is a difference between tribulation and the tribulation. Now, how bad can tribulation get? Tribulation that we have in the world can get as an outcome as bad as it could be for individuals in the tribulation. That is, death. It can happen. There have been martyrs for the Christian faith, and I would argue if you are suffering persecution unto death, how much more of tribulation could there be for you? Well, none. So if you have a stress that relates to something physical or economic or physical in some way, something like that, I would not argue that it's not a tribulation, that it's not a difficulty. What I would argue is that it is not the time spoken about in the Scriptures concerning the time of Jacob's trouble. Did Jonah have stress? Man, I heard those bells ring. There were times there was a lot of stress in those bells. Did the people on the ship have stress when the weather was hitting that boat? Oh, I would argue their hearts were pounding. They were sweating. They were under stress. But it wasn't the time of stress. When we talk about eschatologically, big word, eschatology, study of last things, when we study about tribulation, the tribulation, we're talking about three specific things that involve that period of time. Three components. The first, when the tribulation happens, it's going to be uniquely Israel's. That is, it's going to belong to Israel. It will be their 70th week. So, it is Israel's. Number two, it has a purpose in that it will take Israel from unbelief at the beginning, and at the end, it will usher them to belief. That's going to be the purpose behind this unique thing for Israel. From unbelief to belief. And third, it will rescue Israel physically and spiritually. This period of time, at the end, will provide a rescue, a salvation, if you will, both physically and spiritually. In the prophet Jeremiah, who was a prophet in Judah, he wrote during a time of great stress on the people. First of all, his people were starving. That's not a problem here at Park of the Palms. I got to tell you, if I didn't eat another meal for the next 3 days, I could live off the land without any problem. Not a problem. But in Jeremiah's day, there was starvation, hunger. Some of you in your history can remember, possibly, days of hunger. There are some folks who experience that even in this country. And I remember my father, who was a depression child, remembering the uncertainty from time to time of not having enough to eat. And so his people were starving. There was death and disease all around at that time. He himself was in prison. And he's told to write by God in chapter 1 and in verse 10, he's told to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. So he has, in a recipe, God is giving him four parts of bad stuff. You're to write four parts bad, two parts good. So most of it's not good, but there is positive. In fact, in that same verse in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, he's told to build and plant. So on the one hand, we have the bad news. You're to write about being rooted out, pulling down, destroying, throwing down. But you also talk about building and planting. I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 30 with me. Jeremiah chapter 30. And there are many who call these three chapters, Jeremiah chapters 30, 31, 32, and 33, four chapters, the book of consolation. The book of consolation. In other words, a book within a book. These four chapters. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5 talks about God being the God of consolation. In Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, it says, "The eternal God, our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Consolation, which comes from God. And in chapter 30, breaking that down, there are four things we want to see. Number one, Israel's promise. Number two, Israel's distress. Number three, Israel's liberation. And number four, Israel's healing. In chapter 30, in the first four verses, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah." Now, notice, first of all, that even though Israel has been divided, the north and the south, the text to Jeremiah is that Israel and Judah. In other words, the context is there's already a division. 10 tribes to the north, two tribes to the south. Yet, in spite of that division, in spite of all that took place surrounding Assyria before, God is saying through Jeremiah that there's going to come a day when God will bring the captivity of my people Israel and Judah and cause them, that's the north and the south, to come back to the land. That's specifically stated that way. And so we have God's promise. The word came to Jeremiah, and the word came to him right where he was. That should be an encouragement to you. Jeremiah wasn't in a great situation. He wasn't living in luxury. He didn't have a life of ease. But God came to him right where he is. And you know, God is in that business today of coming to you and to me exactly where we are. And he's told to write the words in a book, and he says the days are coming, future, for Israel and Judah to return to the land, even though right at that time they're in the midst of being in Babylon. They're going to go back. In verses 5 through 7, we see that Israel's under distress. Verse 5, "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." This time that is coming is a time like never before. So, when people talk about tribulation, we can find all kinds of difficulties, as I already described. And as I already admitted, if you are the one going through it, that tribulation could be as horrible as any that will ever be experienced in the tribulation. But the point is not what you are experiencing, or even a handful of people comparatively in the world. The point is, what God is saying, there is going to be a time. And this time is unprecedented. There has never, ever been a time like this before. He describes it in a way, and if you were there, any of you were there at my question and answer, this is always a part in talking about the tribulation that I have difficulties with. And the reason I do is I've never had a baby before. The joke has always been, if a man had to have a baby, there'd be zero population. And that's probably true. But the point of this is so unprecedented, it is as though a man were having a baby. A man doth travail with child. The thought of that is so crazy, but hey, the thought of this day is going to be so unusual, so different. The writer picks something that is so extreme. He's taking the pain of childbirth and transferring it from the woman to the man. And some of you women are saying amen. But he says this is a time of Jacob's trouble. The rabbis call this, and the rabbis do talk about this, it's called the birth pangs of the Messiah. The birth pangs of the Messiah. Again, we talked about this in our question and answer. It was asked talking about last things and eschatology and what takes place. The rabbis have said the birth pangs of the Messiah are this. When this time begins, it is comparatively light. Just like when a woman begins to go into labor. Now again, I know, I'm the guy, I shouldn't be talking about this. What do I know? I still remember with our oldest daughter, when in those days, that was the only one, they put a monitor on her. And it was a weird way that they put it on. But anyway, I'm watching the little thing, you know, and it's, oh, and I can see when it's coming. Oh, one is coming. Thing is going off the charts. I'm saying, oh, breathe, and doing all the Lamont stuff, breathe. Do all that kind of stuff. Okay. Oh, it's going down. Ah, that wasn't too bad. I did one or two of those, and my wife said, aren't you hungry or thirsty? So again, I know how hard it might be from that point of view, but understand that it starts off not too bad. And when it happens, it won't happen again for a while. But the next time that it happens, it's going to be a little worse than that first time. And it will be a little closer together. And each time, it gets a little more intense, and it comes a little closer together. Until towards the end of the process, right before the birth, it seems like it's just one giant pain, which it is. That's exactly what's going to happen during this period. And that's what makes it unprecedented. So we're told in the text that day is great, so that none is like it. It's called a number of different things in the Jewish scriptures. And by that, Jewish scriptures, I mean the Old Testament. It's called a great and terrible day. So it's like no other day. It's called the time of trouble. It's called, in Zephaniah, a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of waste, a day of desolation, a day of darkness, a day of clouds, a day of gloominess, a day of distress. Wow. Are you getting the idea that this is bad news? That this is high stress? It is a time of unprecedented trouble. Jesus, in speaking in Matthew chapter 24, looks at this time. And because his disciples are familiar with the time of Jacob's trouble, as he describes it, he says, at its peak, it's going to be so bad that it is better for your women if they aren't pregnant at this time. Because the unleashing of wrath will be so severe, they need to flee for their lives, and quite frankly, being pregnant is going to slow them down. And by the way, he says, hope that it's not at Shabbat, the Sabbath. Why? Well, Sabbath, traveling is extremely hard. You're only allowed to walk a Sabbath's walk. Transportation is nil. And so Christ is saying, you better hope that at this time, that it's not the Sabbath, and ladies, that you're not pregnant. It's bad. It's unprecedented. It is high stress. It is a time of Jacob's trouble. At the same time, when we come to verse 8, it says, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more enslave them. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. During this time of trouble, there is going to come deliverance. Unprecedented, high stress, percentage of people dying. What will be the odds of dying during this time? Oh, very high. In fact, if you choose to follow the evil one during this time, your chances of dying are still very great. If you choose to reject the evil one and follow the true and the living God, your chances of dying are even worse than if you don't. It seems as though death is just about the only option for either side. And so it's an unprecedented time, but yet through that, not only in this future day, but Jeremiah writing at a terrible time in their history. And that's why this book is called the Book of Consolation, because there's hope. There's hope. There's deliverance promised. What are you experiencing today that's causing you stress? One of the things that I actually love to do when I talk to people in your age category is to hear your testimony. You see, the older we get, the more experience we get. The more experience we get, the more we realize, especially if we're walking with the Lord, that He's faithful regardless of the circumstances. And that as stressful as a situation might be, whether it's health or economy or marriage, relationships, whatever it is, we realize the longer we walk with Him, that no matter how bad it gets, there's deliverance that will come. You know, it's worded this way. The darker the night, the more glorious the sunrise. My father sold jewelry. This was when I was very little. But I do remember one of the things that he used to sell it. You know, he had gold and diamonds. Ladies like diamonds and all that. Now, if you put a diamond in your hand, that'll put a smile on just about anybody's face. Oh, that's nice. So you put the diamond in your hand, it looks good. But a jeweler knows, don't put a diamond in a hand. You get a black background, and you stick that diamond on that little velvet background and put that diamond on there. And as good as the diamond might be not behind that background, it looks infinitely better on that background. Why? Because the diamond is the thing that gives off the light. It looks wonderful. It's glorious. But the contrast between the black and the glistening of the diamond is just extreme. And what God is doing here is, number one, prophesying. There's coming a future day. The Jewish people are ones who were given a high privilege. They were chosen. Why did He choose us? Jewish people say, choose somebody else. It would have been much better for us. Who needs the syrup, the trouble? But He did choose them. We didn't always follow Him. We had all that responsibility, and we blew it. But even in spite of that, God is promising us deliverance. We did bad things. There are consequences for that. But the future of Israel is a glorious future. And so the book of consolation is the bad news. There's a horrible day coming. But there's great deliverance that's on the way as well. He says, I will save thee. And isn't it interesting in verse 9 that David will be raised up? A little controversy in Jeremiah. Now, I suppose if you've got 10 speakers on this platform, you would probably have a division, 50-50, 60-40. Who is David? Is David speaking of his greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ? I would not be of that persuasion. I believe David is David. Why? Because that's what it says. David is, in my view, going to be, as it were, a co-regent when deliverance comes. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that David is going to be the king in the Messianic age. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that Jesus will come, but David, it says, is raised up as king, their king, whom I will raise up to them. And so I believe this knocks away preterist view, although they say this is David's greater son. I believe it's really David. But the idea here, in verse 11, he says, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations to which I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, and they seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, and the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. What's this period for? This period is for to drive the Jewish people to repentance. That's the purpose. Now, you know, there's a debate amongst people as to the seals that are broken during this time. Whose wrath is poured out during this day? When you read Revelation, you find out that John is looking for someone who will loose the seals that he has seen in that seven-sealed scroll. And he looks everywhere, and he can't find anybody. And he starts to cry. And then all of a sudden, he sees the one. After an angel touched him, told him to cry not. And who is it? It's Jesus, the Lamb of God. And what does he do? He breaks the seals. When those seals are broken, judgment is poured out. That judgment comes from God. That judgment, that wrath comes from Almighty God on a people that He loves. Does God chastise His people today? Oh, He does. I'm not saying He puts us under the tribulation, but He, as any father, loving father would do, He chastises, He corrects, He does what needs to be done to form our character as to what it ought to be. And so it is in the program of God. He will bring about difficulty in their life to take them from unbelief to belief. And then at verse 17, it says this, "For I," this is God speaking, "will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." In Jeremiah chapter 30, and by the way, in the book of Consolation, I refer to Jeremiah 31, talking about the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, verses 35 and following, talks about the preservation of Israel, how the Jewish people, no matter what happens, will never be destroyed as a people. This is it's to be an encouragement in the midst of difficulty. This is to be an encouragement. God is going to restore them. He's going to reconcile them. He's going to heal them. He's going to fix them. So, does that have anything to do with you and me? Well, in one sense, it doesn't. We're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. What God is going to do is rapture the church. He's some period of time, He's going to call us unto Himself. Either we'll die and be instantly with Him, or we'll be raptured. Either way, the church will not go through this period. But, as I started at the beginning, what service do you have? Oh boy, when I go in the back, you know, if I asked that to a Jewish audience, I'd be in the back. I probably wouldn't get back to my place till 1 o'clock in the morning. What kind of tsuris do I have? You should know from my tsuris. Let me tell you. Sit down. You want trouble? I'll give you all kinds of troubles that are going on. Jewish people tend to wear their emotions on their sleeves. Now, that's a general statement, but generally true. What about for you? You lonely? Look, when I come to a place like this, I realize that this is a place, Park of the Palms, wonderful weather, a great fellowship, but this is a different season of our life. And as a result, it's very possible you are lonely. Oh, you have that neighbor with you. You have people you see on a regular basis, and all that is wonderful. But you're alone. That's a stress. That's a tsuris. We can look at what's going to happen to the Jewish people in the midst of difficulty. God is going to heal them. God is going to restore them. God is going to take care of them, even in the midst of difficulty. And so if you're here and you're lonely, first of all, that's a real emotion. But second of all, we have a real God who is the God of all comfort. He's the God of consolation. You rest in Him. Think about Him. Focus on Him. Those are the times you need to cry out to Him in the midst of your loneliness. You're having difficulty physically. Oh, yeah, that happens. All kinds of difficulties. I noticed on the news, Tony Snow, 51 years old, fighting cancer. The wife of Edwards, Mrs. Edwards, 50-whatever. Cancer. I prayed for her. Can you imagine the fear? What a horrible thing. And people face those diagnoses all the time. Do you feel hurt? Do you feel discouraged? Is it rough? Yes. That's not deep tribulation, but it's real. It's real. What about finances? Are you wondering about that? Things get harder. prescription drugs? Are they going to help me? Aren't they going to help me? What am I going to do? Those are real problems, real things. And you just don't say, oh, believe God and everything will be all right. It's not true. But it is true that during those times, you ought to rest in Him. Just sit and meditate and rest in Him. It's something we ought to do. It's, for my generation, sitting and resting quietly before Him is, one of the hardest things. I'm always looking to do something. You always can do something. But you know, that's not true. There are times you can't do anything. There is nothing you can do to change what's happening. But there is something you can do in relation to Him. You can focus on Him. You can rest in Him. You can claim those promises that are given in the Word and rely on them. And one of those are, Israel, I've got bad news and good news. The bad news is coming first. You got trouble. Big time trouble. But the good news is, I'll rescue you. I'll be your comfort. I'll be your consolation. You're going to come on top at the end. And the same thing can be applied to us. Bad news you have, it's bad. No doubt about it. Whatever it is, it's bad. But I got good news for you. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's a God who will carry you through that situation. He'll raise up people or resources or things that you need to get through that difficulty. He won't give you any more than what you can bear. But sometimes what He gives us to bear, we think is at the end of our rope. But He promises, every one of His promises are sure. And if we rest in Him, as I said, the darker the night, the bleaker the time, the more glorious the sunrise, the brighter the day at the end of that difficulty. Now, sometimes we walk a lonely road. And I know most of you are familiar with that poem, Footprints. And we know that for a while there were two footprints, two sets. Oh, yeah. I understand that because I like to do stuff. And I want to help God out. Might not have that personality. I realize I can help Him out, but I like to think I could try. But then there's only a single set of footprints. And God never left. And that means He was carrying me during that time. Those are the things we need to rest in. And as Israel, as we think of Israel praying for the peace of Jerusalem, all the things that are going to happen there, it's going to get a lot worse than it is. We ought to be praying for them. We ought to pray that the Word of God penetrates hearts during that time. We ought to pray that people in America get down on their knees and repent and turn to Him while there's still time. There is plenty we can do in the midst even of our difficulties. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we realize there's a lot of stress, all kinds of stress that we undergo. And we realize that life isn't always easy. And we confess sometimes we try to do it alone, handle it ourselves, because we're Americans or Canadians and we know how to do it. But Lord, there are situations in life where we really have very little power. There's very little we can do. But we can come to You. And thinking of the nation of Israel, there's going to be a time when such terrible things happen that they'll have no other option but to fall down on their knees in repentance and welcome the Messiah. They'll go through very harsh and difficult times, but they will come and be reconciled back to You. Father, I pray for each one, for those silent requests, the burdens that are carried. I pray that You'll be the God of all comfort, the God of consolation during this time for any who are experiencing difficulty. I pray that You would be near and dear to them at this time, and that You would rest Your hand on their shoulder. And Father, they'll feel, in essence, Your presence with them. Thanks, Lord, for each one who's come. Thanks for Your Word. And thanks that there is victory in Jesus. And thank You that just like Jonah, You accomplished Your perfect will through him. We pray that You would accomplish Your perfect will through us for Your glory. For Christ's sake, amen.